Studios Prattcast with Stephanie Pratt and Wells Adams.
Kinda. More just Wells Adams, because Steph is in Hawaii again, I guess. So we are going to, we're going to break down last week's episode because it was a barn burner. It was a bit stressful. All right, I've had to see my therapist a couple times because of it, but we're going to get through it together. Speaking of, we have Dr. Jen Mann coming on the show, and we're going to ask her what her true thoughts are of the last episode without Steph on the show yet. So, Dr. Jen, are you there?
I am. How you doing?
I'm okay. All right, I'm a little rattled from last week, but I'm going to get through this.
I can understand.
Yeah, right?
I can understand it, and I have to say, Adam, you did a great job with your input, and, you know, look, there's nothing that I wouldn't say about what Stephanie said last week that I wouldn't say to her directly as well. So, just so you know.
All right, that's good. But you can speak freely because she's not on the show currently.
Okay, so, you got it.
So you did listen to the episode. I guess my question is, are you familiar with the kind of the feud of the family and the Hills in general before listening to last week's episode?
So Heidi, there was a lot of talk about Heidi and Spencer coming on my show, Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen, on VH1 for a while. So I'm kind of, I don't know a lot of the details. I was not an avid show watcher, but I did get enough of the details from the producer about a little bit of the history. I listened to your last show. So I have the overview of kind of what the family dynamics are, which are pretty blatant from what Stephanie is saying and from what I have seen in the press about the family.
Truth about any argument is that there are three truths to the argument. There's Stephanie's truth, there's probably Spencer and Heidi's truth, and then there's probably the actual truth. You just got to hear
100%.
You just got to hear Stephanie's in the episode last week, just right off the bat, overall general feelings of kind of the argument and what she's angry about. Like, how do you break it down?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, it's what I call the Rashomon effect. It was this Japanese history film that was made a million years ago where two men were in the same room and had the same experience. And each part of the movie was each one of them describing it from their perspective, and they had totally different perspectives. And that is life. I'm sure, like you're saying, if we had Heidi in one room, Spencer in one room, Stephanie in one room, and they all described it, they could be in the same room for the same event and all have totally different perspectives. A few things. First of all, one of the things that concerned me, and I understood where Stephanie was coming from when she said, look, Spencer said this is a Heidi thing and he's trying to stay out of it, and I guess this is his wife and that, you know, he needs to support his wife. And I agree. Absolutely, it's important that couples stick together, that they support each other. But I also think that Stephanie's letting Spencer off the hook, that she needs to hold him responsible for his choices. He can find a better balance from what she's saying of being respectful to his wife and being connected with her, and at the same time not just kind of doing a hands up, well, I don't know, like, I got nothing to do with this. That to me, there is a better balance to be had for this family that will make for a healthier family system.
Yeah, and this isn't like the newest story, like the first time this story's ever been told. It happens all the time where, you know, sister-in-laws don't get along, or mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws don't get along. After listening to the episode, do you think there's any way back for all of them?
Look, I spend my life's work devoted to helping families and couples and people repair relationships. So I believe that there's always a possibility. I one of the things that really struck me from what Stephanie described is, you know, this whole campaign thing of Heidi not giving her champagne. And a lot of the time what I see in relationships is that when there's anger that is unexpressed, it tends to leak out in behaviors. In behaviors that are sometimes passive aggressive, sometimes aggressive, sometimes snarky. My impression is that if this is not, like you mentioned before, a publicity stunt by Heidi in an attempt to create conflict, but if this is a genuine thing that's really happening, where Heidi opted not to give Stephanie champagne while everyone else in the room had it, and very blatantly withheld it from her. Didn't just say, like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to, but actually withheld it from her. Then you got to wonder what's going on from Heidi, that Heidi is so angry at Stephanie that she's acting out like this. People don't do things for no reason. We pretty much always do things for a reason. We're not always conscious of it. But something is being played out in this family and in this dynamic that is important to look at.
Can I give a little insight on that? So,
please.
I think from Stephanie, and this is what I know from what she said, and she'll talk about this with Wells later today, she has always felt that Spencer is more important in the family than she is. And that may set up some of this.
He's the only boy, right? Only son?
Yes.
I mean, there you go.
And whether that's the reality or not, in actuality, who knows? But she definitely feels that.
Sure.
Prodigal sons.
And I think that she said something that was really important last week that I think a lot of people can learn from, because, well, the specifics of this family dynamic are obviously really unique given reality TV, given celebrity, given all of that sort of stuff. But what Stephanie said about, you know what, I realize basically I can't caretake my parents and put their needs first anymore. I have to start making good boundaries and taking care of me. I think that's a lesson to be learned by everybody. And I think that most people have unhealthy family dynamics that get played out over and over. And there comes a point in our own growth, our own development, where we have to say, okay, I'm going to approach this with maturity and respect, but I'm going to have good boundaries. I'm going to take care of me, and I'm going to put taking care of myself first. And I was really encouraged to hear Stephanie say that.
What, after listening to the episode, like, what are some of your concerns with Stephanie's take on the whole thing?
Look, obviously, I'd like to hear the other side. It would be amazing to get to sit down and do family therapy with this whole family. I think there is so much to be said, and it's that Rashomon effect that I'm interested in hearing what Spencer's ideas are about it, what his perspective is, what Heidi's is, because, look, nothing happens in a vacuum, and we all participate in a family system in ways that sometimes we're aware of, sometimes we're not, and sometimes we feed the system. Sometimes we feed, okay, everyone likes my brother more, so I feed the system by hanging back and letting him have the attention, or not making boundaries, or not making waves. So I think that my main concern for Stephanie is that kind of previous mentality that she's had of, I'm not going to make waves, I don't want to upset my parents. And I get it. It's complicated. She clearly loves her parents. They sound like amazing, wonderful people. And it's important as a woman in terms of developing her own self-esteem, in terms of her own boundaries, in terms of her own mental health, that she is able to voice her needs and able to say what she needs to say and not have to walk on eggshells afraid that people are going to be upset with her.
Speaking of the parents, as a mom, when your kids are fighting, like, how do you insert yourself into that situation to help kind of rectify it?
It's tough. I have twin daughters, so it comes up. I always try to, as a parent, walk the line between not taking over and making people say or do things that they don't want to do or don't feel. You know, for example, and I started this when my kids were really little, but this to me is applicable to, this family, this Pratt family. I don't believe in making kids say, I'm sorry. I think that what you get is a lot of people just parroting with, oh, I'm sorry. Tell your sister you're sorry. Tell your brother you're sorry. And I think an important part of this dynamic is to not have people just say things to placate people. And like I mentioned before, my biggest concern with Stephanie is I don't want to placate people. I think it's important for her well-being that she learn to voice her needs and her opinions in a healthy way and get her needs met. So when it comes to conflict among siblings, as a parent, to me, the key is, if you're involved, in the actual conflict, and they kind of indirectly are, to be able to talk through that. I think this family, again, they really need family therapy. They need to be sitting down with a skilled family therapist to talk through all of this history and these conflicts and what the dynamics are right now and how to change them. But also, everybody developing the skills and the tools to communicate in a productive way. A lot of the time, especially when people are triggered, when people are pissed off, when people are hurt, they tend to just lash out. And you can deliver the same message in a lot of different ways. There are ways you can deliver it where it's just going to escalate the conflict, or there are ways you can deliver it where it's actually going to land and make progress, and there's going to be, you can really touch someone and shift their thinking. You know, look, the reason why people cry their eyes out on my show is we do real therapy and people allow things to land. We create an atmosphere where real truth can be told and people can make change, and change is painful. It's often painful and dramatic, but well worth it.
When I listen back to that episode, I mean, a lot of thoughts ripped through my brain, but I think the one that I like kind of settled on was Stephanie has been, for lack of a better term, hoarding all of this kind of like aggression and ill will somewhere like deep inside of her brain. And all of a sudden, one night, she had a glass of wine and she remembered this one photo shoot, and it just seemed to all like come flowing out of her. Like it almost was, yeah. She couldn't stop herself.
Yeah. I call that leaky anger.
Yeah.
That when people tend to hold on to their gripes, when people get their feelings hurt and they'll talk through it as it happens, like people like to think, oh, you can just kind of sweep it under the rug or pretend like it's not happening or not make a big deal of it. But things that don't get talked through build up and it leaks out in ways that are just not healthy. And I agree with you. I think that she's been holding on to a lot with a lot of different family members that has built up.
So as friends of Stephanie, and colleagues of her as well, like what do you suggest we do? Because I feel like we're now in kind of a precarious situation. Like, do we listen?
Sure.
Do we try to fix the problem? Do we try to get, you know, the family together? Like, what do you suggest as a therapist that we should do going forward?
Well, I think you asked a great question. First of all, one of the things I really appreciated about listening to the last episode was that you're not a yes man. I really thought it was wonderful as a friend how you challenged her and you were able to go like, well, what do you think your part in this might be? Well, you know, do you think that there's anything that you've done that has contributed to this problem? And I thought that that was really terrific. You did it in a very loving, supportive way that I thought was great. And I think continuing to do that, I think supporting her and letting her kind of vomit out her feelings and kind of let it all out is really important, because you always need a safe space to get that out so that you can kind of organize your thoughts and figure out what your priorities are in terms of what needs to be addressed. I think that it's great. I think that she mentioned that she is in individual therapy. I think her continuing individual therapy. I do think that everyone encouraging this family to get family therapy is really going to be key. I don't think that this is, I think the depth and the level of pain and history between all of these members is so significant. And also, truthfully, the lack of tools and high-level communication ability while triggered is so low that I don't think that they can all do this on their own. I think that they need a professional in the room to help them sort through this in a productive way. Otherwise, I think it's just going to turn into a messy, screaming, yelling fight that's going to be unproductive.
Do you think that this family has no business being on reality TV?
I think that they make for delicious, amazing fodder for producers and viewers.
Of course, that's not what I'm asking. It's amazing television.
Yeah. Do I think it's in their
best interest
emotionally? No. No.
Yeah.
I think probably not. Although one thing I do have to say is that a lot of the time, and again, one of the reasons why my shows, Couples Therapy and Family Therapy, have been such a success is, you know, there are celebrity couples and celebrity families who come on my show. A lot of the time, the celebrities I get on my show are celebrities who would never do individual couples that wouldn't, they just wouldn't do therapy if there wasn't a camera in the room. And sometimes what happens is they come in and they go, oh, you know what, like, I'm going to manipulate the system, but there isn't anyone manipulating the system once you start doing real therapy. And so sometimes someone like Heidi and Spencer can do their best therapy in the room with a camera because that's what they're used to. That's what they grew up with. That's kind of where they're a fish in water when they have that camera there. So sometimes it actually, believe it or not, even though it seems like it wouldn't be the case, sometimes it allows people to do work that they wouldn't do otherwise.
Yeah. I guess one question I always like to ask when I have people on the show is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish that I had asked you as if the show had ended? Like, what am I not touching on that we should be talking about?
Well, you know, one thing that interested me is that Stephanie talked about, she said that she struggles with depression and anxiety, and she said something about bipolar depression. And I don't know if she meant literally that she had been diagnosed with bipolar or if it feels bipolar, but I think that an important part in all of this is her addressing her own depression and anxiety and whatever's going on. Because when you're going into a super triggering situation, and you know, like, nobody can trigger you like your family or your romantic partner. that's like the top of the line. So if you're going into a situation where you are likely to be triggered, you want to make sure you go in with a strong foundation where you've done your work on yourself, so you can go in strong, you can go in clear-headed, you can go in and not be reactive and super emotional and be able to kind of sort through what's in front of you so you can actually work through the issues at hand.
Yeah. Amy, do you have any other questions for Dr. Jen?
No, but I'm super nervous about Stephanie.
Are
because
you?
I think she feels good. Because
yeah.
I've obviously talked to her over the last week or two. But I think she has a lot she really wants to get out. And
yeah.
I think she finds this a healing place to let it all out, which then gives me
anxiety.
Diarrhea.
Yeah. This segment brought to you by Tubbs.
It's very oddly stressful for Wells and I to be
of
involved in this.
Yeah.
And I won't go
of
into
course.
Detail, but there is some blame being placed on us.
On us, yeah, for sure. And when I go listen back, I've done enough reality TV shows and been in the role of almost a producer on some of those reality TV shows. I know what works and what doesn't. And I wasn't trying to do that. I was just trying to let her talk on the microphone, get her thoughts out. We could have buried Spencer more, I thought, and Heidi some more. But I felt like we took their side of the story a lot more.
I will say this, because I love Steph. I love her. I've been friends with her for many years.
Yeah.
I also very much like Spencer and Heidi.
Yeah.
Very, very much.
They're very charming, likable people.
So, yeah. I mean, I'm sort of with Wells in that I think there's 87 versions of this story, none of which are accurate.
Well, can I say, this is, and I would say this to Steph, and I will say this to Steph to her face. I think the big problem with this family is misguided blame. And they can be mad at us. They can be mad at iHeart. They can be mad at the show or whatever. But we didn't do this. You know, we really didn't create this issue. And it's so easy to blame us. But maybe it might be better to start looking inward rather than outward is my kind of final thought there.
And look, I think that what you're talking about with misguided blame, to me, my sense of what happened is, you know, that Stephanie has all the stuff that she's been pushing down and trying not to deal with and not wanting to upset the apple cart or upset our parents or, you know, make waves or alienate anyone. And that she's been pushing down. And Adam, I heard you ask questions that were totally legit. And I think it just kind of burst the bubble. It was kind of a fragile bubble because she's been holding on to so much for so long that I think that this was bound to kind of explode at some point, whether it was here or someplace else.
That brings up an interesting point, Dr. Jen, because Steph grew up on the hills, essentially, she was a late teenager, young 20s, maybe when she went on, and it was on for years and has continued on reality shows. Is that why she feels more comfortable opening up it to the microphone? Have you ever seen that? I guess you're saying that about couples therapy too, that they will only do it when the camera's there because it's their safe space.
I see it all the time. And so that would not surprise me at all. I think when you grow up on camera, and, you know, if you guys ever saw The Truman Show,
yeah,
you know, the where Jim Carrey like basically grew up on television, like I feel like a lot of these kids who grew up on these shows are used to it, and there is a certain kind of comfort in it, and an understanding of like, okay, it's time to spill, it's time to do it.
It's very counterintuitive to the average person like me, because it's like, what are you doing? You know, like where if there was a camera or a microphone, I would want to run away.
Totally. And also, you know, what happens, and I'm sure you've heard people on reality TV say this, is when you have a camera following you around for long enough, you kind of start to almost forget that it's there. Which seems like a dichotomy, that on one hand, it being there helps you open up more. On the other hand, you kind of forget that it's there, but it kind of becomes integrated into your life. And you know, part of the culture of being on reality TV does shift your thinking. And I think, you know, in situations like this, it does encourage you to open up. It does encourage you to kind of speak what you need to speak, sometimes not in healthy ways, but when it can be done in a healthy way, it can be really helpful and effective.
Yeah, I think my last kind of thought on it is that there is an unfortunate positive affirmation that comes with reality TV that kind of states that if you are as dramatic and as bombastic as possible, that's great TV. And it is, but it doesn't make for great family and home life. So I think we need to try to figure out a way to kind of balance the two for Steph. Dr. Jen, man, thank you so much for being on the show. I really do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We're probably going to need you again. Let's be fair. So just, you know, stick around.
I will.
Maybe next week.
Good luck to us right
now. You got it.
Say a prayer.
You
thanks.
Got my number. Anytime.
All right. See you, Doc.
Take care.
All right. We got Steph on the broadcast. How are you?
What? I'm here. Come on.
I know. We started the show without you, though, which feels always weird when you're not here. But I want to know, how are you?
I'm good. I haven't talked to anyone in my family. And it was, you know, the night before my birthday, which was Wednesday night, I had a lot of anxiety, and my friends had taken me out for dinner. And I was like, you know what? I'm sorry. Like, I'm not in the mood to drink. I just want to go home, because there was such like building anxiety of, are my parents going to email me happy birthday? Are they going to text me? Will I hear from my sister? And like my gut said no. But the night before, it was just like, I didn't even sleep. And then on my birthday, I had a great birthday. And, you know, because of the time difference, which I totally know now, it's 3 hours from Hawaii, that, you know, they hadn't texted in the morning or emailed. And that was that. So that was like a lot of pressure was off, because I wasn't waiting the whole day for my birthday. But, you know, we haven't talked since, and I've been having horrible nightmares. But I think once, you know, this podcast is done, I'm going to be a lot better than I have this past week.
Well, that's good. So wait, hold on. So no one in your family texted you happy birthday?
No. Well, I had my 13-year-old niece text me, and we don't really text. She wrote, happy birthday, I love you so much. I'm in the car with my mom, and she says happy birthday too. So my sister had my niece say happy birthday, and she kind of, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of said it.
But is that weird? Like,
it was insane. I showed the group of people I was with. I was like, wow, like my 13-year-old niece is having to say happy birthday and then like quickly include her mom in it, my sister.
Well,
I mean, it's things will never, ever be the same. Like, this has, for all I know, my parents have disowned me. I mean, I've escaped a very dysfunctional family.
I'm like heartbroken again.
I know.
It just,
I know, it's really hard.
That's why we had Wells talk to the therapist before you came on, because we wanted to talk to her to see what we can do. And then I think I'm all ready.
Yeah.
And then now I'm just heartbroken again.
I mean, I just try to think about my family. If no one texted me on my birthday, I would be like, well, I mean, so do you regret any of the things that you said last week? Like, listening back?
I feel, you know what? The support that I got from people was so overwhelming. And I mean, like, I couldn't believe all the, I don't read comments, but you guys had said, like, wow, the feedback's really good. So I did, like, look at all my Instagram and Twitter and everything. And I was, like, blown away that everyone was so nice. So, I mean, that support definitely helped. And saying everything, I do feel so much lighter. You know, this burden of secrets for 10 years. I feel free. Like, I'm finally doing me.
Yeah.
I'm not doing my parents' work.
How's your anxiety? Because it would give me anxiety, this situation. Like, yeah. I have anxiety and I'm not even in the situation. How's your sort of anxiety, stress level now, a week later, a week and a half later?
I mean, it's pretty bad, but the only thing that I'm, like, really thinking about a lot is my parents, because, you know, Spencer and Heidi will be fuming to hear, you know, this podcast, and that our whole family hates her, which will give her even more power to play games with my mom about seeing Gunner or not seeing Gunner, which is probably the latter will happen. So I'm sad for what it has done to my parents. But, like, what my parents don't understand is that when they're old, I'm the one that's going to move them in with me and take care of them. Like, do you see Heidi and Spencer doing anything for them? Like, all they care about is each other before family. So my parents don't get that, like, they're rooting for the wrong kid. And it's always been that way. Like, as I've been reflecting so much about since, like, I was 18, it has always been my brother. I mean, he was never told to get a job. I was an intern in high school. I worked in a clothing store. Then I was a hostess at a restaurant. My parents were always on me, get a job, get a job. What was Spencer doing? He was playing in Malibu. You know, this was before Heidi in the Hills. It was just, it's always been, my brother is just, like, untouchable. So I just don't understand why they give him so much love and support and value him so much more than they value me, that they actually had me grin and bear all the things that Heidi's done for the past 10 years to my family. Like, you know, I'm mad at my parents. When my brother went AWOL, like, I feel like my dad's forgotten this. There were 3 years when, you know, he wasn't around, and I learned about sports and would watch football, soccer, golf, any sport, and learned about it with my dad to fill in the loss of his son. So I was kind of, like, acting as his son because I knew he really missed him. So, I mean, did he forget those 3 years when I was, like, calling him constantly, Tebow, did you see that? Like, it's just, my parents just don't. I feel like I'm out of the jungle and I'm on a cliff looking down at it, and they're still in the jungle not having clarity and seeing, like, what they've been asking me to do is more than anyone can handle, and especially in the public eye.
It seems to me that it might be might be too far gone for you and Spencer and Heidi to kind of like reconnect, but like, is there anything in you that wants to kind of mend the fences with your parents?
No. You know, it's just my parents have done so many things to help Heidi and to screw me over. Like, I remember I wanted to get my dog from my parents' house years ago, and my mom said, "You can't come over, Heidi's swimming." And that happened a lot. You know, there was a Christmas, like, from my parents, they've allowed so much to happen, and they've expected me to just, you know, continue being so nice to her. I mean, there wasn't a year that I didn't get her really thoughtful Christmas presents. This year I got her matching sweatsuits with my mom, sister, and I, and a Gucci handbag. I mean, like, every Christmas I am being thoughtful when I come home. Has she ever given me anything? No. But, like, I do not stop trying. So, my parents, like, they've chosen. And I understand, like, if we were speaking, I would say to them, look, I live in London. You now have a grandson 5 minutes away from you guys. Like, I wish you hadn't chose him since I was 18, but, like, now choose him. Like, you've got a grandson 5 minutes away from you, and I'm in London, so that's how it's going to be. Like, you chose them. I'm going to be on my own.
Yes, but
which is fine.
I would assume,
I've got a lot of friends.
I would assume, though, if your parents were in the room right now, they would say, well, we don't want to choose. We want both of you guys. You guys are both our children.
It's just always keep Spencer happy. Look, my parents probably despise me for this mess that I've gotten them into by exposing this, but really by just venting, like, 10 years of this. I mean, and she's just made it so hard. Like, if she was, like, cool about it, you know, I could probably, like, keep the facade up for longer. But she's not nice. Like, you know, there was a Christmas that she had done something so gross to her family.
You talking about Heidi right now?
Yeah, sorry. Okay. There was a Christmas that she had done something so gross to our family that she couldn't even be around us or look at us. So she locked herself in the library for a whole entire day, and she said it was because she had to watch her dogs. So, I mean, like, she knows, like, she will, like, avoid or kind of hide when she knows that she's just done something very, very bad to my family.
You think there's any way back from this? Like, is there any conceivable scenario where everyone comes back together and works things out? Like, would it be your brother having to come to you and say, hey, listen, I'm sorry I hadn't defended, like, you more to Heidi? Or is it your parents saying, you know what, you're right, we do tend to dote on your brother a little more than you? Or is it Heidi coming forward and saying, you know what, I need to be a better sister-in-law, and we need to work this out? Like, is there anything that can happen that can make this thing right again in your eyes?
No, never. You know, it was all over when I became friends with Lauren.
That was years ago.
So they've been together for 12 years, and I always say that this has been 10 years of this burden, because it was, you know, when they got married and everything. But again, like, when Spencer and Heidi elope, my mom called me hysterical because she was standing in front of the Us magazine cover at the grocery store saying they had eloped. She called me hysterical and said, do you think this is true? We weren't invited to their wedding? Like, it's sad. And that's when things really changed after that, when they eloped. It was clear that they only cared about themselves. And when I got on the show, made friends with Lauren, that was it.
So after listening back to the episode, I had a few kind of thoughts on your perception of things. And I say it in the last episode where I'm like, it's so easy for women to bash other women. And for whatever reason, usually it happens in relationships where like, let's say a girl goes and hooks up with like your friend's boyfriend. It's so easy to be mad at the girl and then leave no blame on the guy, even though the guy was completely culpable and probably more culpable than the girl. I hear so much that Heidi is the issue and so little that Spencer is. Do you think that like your like the scales of your anger are rightfully balanced in this kind of argument that you're having with your brother and your sister-in-law?
If they had never met, there's no way that these past 10 years would have been so tragic for my family.
But they did meet, and this is your brother.
Look, my brother's definitely not an angel. Like, I've been protecting him as well, but you know, when I moved to Paris when I was 18 to go to college, and Spencer came out to visit me, and something went terribly wrong that I'm not going to say. So I wasn't ever going back. He basically left me like an 8-page letter under my door and took like the next flight home to LA. Like, it was really bad. And my mom said, come home for Christmas. And I said, there's no way I'm coming home for Christmas after this. And she said, no, Spencer's with Brody. They're on a yacht in the Mediterranean. Please just come home. And so I was like, okay, if he's gone, then yeah, I will come home for Christmas. I've never missed a Christmas. I got home and my parents, this is great. I came home and in my bedroom were all these presents from Spencer. So
to you?
Yeah. So I knew my parents had lied and that he was in town and he felt guilty. So my bed was covered in presents. So anyways, I was home and my parents told me that I wasn't going back to school in Paris, that they were sending my sister and her husband to go pack up my apartment. So fast forward to London, Spencer and Heidi, well, Spencer did the same thing, but now Heidi was involved, and they told my mom that I should be living there. So when I came home, my mom was like, you're not going to go back to London. We don't think it's good for you. And the next thing that happened, I was just like, he cannot keep ruining my life. And
it's control. There's a lot of control being placed over you.
And yeah, and the next thing I knew, because I was so out of control, the next thing I knew, I was in an ambulance from a suicide attempt. Like, I had lost Paris. They were trying to make me lose London. Well, all along, I'm grinning and bearing it, and I'm just like watching my life just become more depressed and stress. I mean, thank God I still live in London and I didn't let that happen. I mean, if like, I just take the brunt of all of it. Even when I was coming to Hawaii, my mom was like, you're going back to Hawaii? This is so irresponsible of you. And she's like texting me all this shit. And she was like, where are you staying? And I was like, I'm just going to rent the same house again that I was in 2 weeks ago, because I'm not needed back in LA until May 6th. And she goes, this is just so like you, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, I don't know how I'm going to tell Dad. And I was like, tell Dad what? Like, this is my money.
There does seem to be, because
like, why? Like, my mom is coming after me always.
Well, you're 32, aren't you? 33?
33 last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I don't know. that keeps coming back to me, is that there's a lot of control by others being placed onto you. And I think I hear what you say when you're saying you feel free. And I don't know if it's because, look, I want you to work it out with Spencer and Heidi and your parents, of course. But I do understand that I think you feel free from the control.
Well, I've been thinking about this. I've been thinking about this a good bit. Your parents can't control your brother. That's obvious. I mean, he went and eloped without them. You know, he's kind of doing whatever he wants, and
he has his own kid now too. He's got his own family. Yeah, they really right.
But they've never had any control over him. The only one that they have had control over is you. And I think the reason why it feels so liberating is you've just done what your brother did years ago, which is you've just separated yourself and you've torn the umbilical cord. And I think that's why you're feeling that way.
I think so too. What would be interesting, I wish you had a relationship with your parents right now where you still are doing what you're doing, owning that independence, making your own decisions, and being proud of them. And if you had that strength, I wonder if the relationship could be improved where they would respect those decisions.
I just hope that your parents listen to this episode, because if I'm not a parent, well, I have a dog, so kind of a parent, but if my dog Carl came in here and said this about me, I would be heartbroken. I'd be like, oh, I didn't know you felt this way, or you're right, and how can I fix this? This is terrible.
I think that my impression is they love her so much. They're holding so tight.
Yeah.
And maybe from your past, I was starting to think about this too. And Wells has, I want Wells this week to read your book, because you do go into some of this. I think some of the struggles that Steph had as a teenager, maybe her parents are so afraid.
Oh, you got the book.
Got the book. So maybe they're so afraid.
Thanks, guys.
From some of the pain she experienced as a teenager, that is why they control and hold on so tight, because they don't want her to go through that again.
And to do what Spencer did, which is completely cut them out of his life for 3 years or whatever it was.
I think some of it does come from love.
This, not me, or my parents.
All of you. I think some of why they hold so tight is because they love you so much.
But they see me in hospitals. You know, most of the really bad times where I end up in a hospital is something triggered by Spencer. Like my parents, like they see that the suffering it's turned into, you know, full depression.
Yeah, the therapist did want us to talk about that too, and acknowledge that have you been diagnosed with depression, and making sure that you're taking care of you. What did she say? She did say this was good.
Yeah, she said, I don't know if she's actually diagnosed as bipolar, because you mentioned that in the last episode, and she said if you were, then that needs to be something that you guys need to be talking, like you and your therapist need to be talking about a lot. And then she also said that this is her speaking, what I think would be really important is that everyone in your family get together for family therapy, which I'm not sure if that'll ever happen unless
yeah. Do you know how long my therapist has been saying that?
Yeah.
What? It's impossible.
What comes back to me, yeah, is how do we help take care of you? Because this is serious.
Yeah.
Like, I understand it's also a show, and there's some parts that are going to be funny and light and all that. But, like, this is serious. And I don't think you're alone in what you're feeling. I think a lot of people listening understand, and that's why they gave you so much support. Because they've been there, too. Families are hard.
Yeah, but why do you think they... your parents enable your brother or dote on him?
I have no idea.
You never asked them that?
They would just be in denial. Like, they're in denial of what happened in Paris. Like, they just, everything, they're in denial. I was doing it too. We switched from being in denial to hopeful that it's going to change, and then to just resentment. Like, it's just always feelings that are moving, but not, I mean, hopeful is a good feeling, but then the disappointment comes, and that's hard. Like, I just don't, this wouldn't have come to this, literally, if Heidi just played it cool. Like, don't go into a bathroom that I'm standing in and scowl at me. Don't show up at a photo shoot and not say a word to me. And then I say, you know, hey, cute outfit. And she looks me up and down and walks away. You know, or like giving, like I said last week, the two girls next to me, Whitney and Andrina, on both sides, giving them champagne and just blanking me. Like, if she could have just been nice, you know? I mean, for Christmas, Princess Heidi, I was unpacking at my parents' house. I don't know why I had luggage there. But anyways, my mom had gotten me this really cute Christmas sweater, and I think it was like from TJ Maxx. So it was like really soft and silly and cute, and it had the tags on it. My mom had just like walked by and dropped it on my suitcase. I was sitting on the floor, and she's like, got this for you. Heidi walks in and she goes, oh my God, what a cute sweater. Oh my, who got this? Who's it for? And immediately, even though I wanted it, I said, it's for you. My mom went out and got it for you. So like, what? So why did I even lie and say my mom went out and got it specifically for you? Because I wanted her to feel loved and a part of this family. Did I want that sweater? Of course I did. And the first thing I do, I hand it over to her. Like, it's just, I've done so much to try to keep it together, but she's just such a bitch that I just, it's not worth it. And my parents are coming down on me like, you guys. You guys have made me bottle this up for so long. Like, it is just, the only thing that really gets me really anxious is this, like, overwhelming feeling that nothing that I've torn apart my family, that I have, you know, dropped this bomb, and I'm never going to be at another Christmas, you know? That's what I keep thinking about, is what I'm going to do for Christmas.
You can go to my house.
I know, mine too. I feel like, but I also have in my gut that this could be repaired.
I just don't know if I can forgive my parents, and I just don't see them changing. None of them have changed. None of them.
I think one of the things, and we don't have to get into it today, but maybe next episode, is starting to help you heal. Because I think that at this point, of course, I hope it all works out.
Yeah.
But I think that there are things that Steph can start to do to feel better, to find some peace. You know,
well, that's why I came here, because we all live, you know, I'm 8 blocks away from my parents, 5 minutes away from Spencer. So that's why I came here, because I've got like this month off until I have to work again. And I was like, there's no way I can be in the Palisades just like, you know, am I going to run into them when I go to Cafe Vita or when I'm walking my dog? Like, it was too scary.
So, yeah,
like,
what about...
I'm scared to go back to L.A.
Well, yeah, and what about... I mean, soon you're going to have to start doing all the press for The Hills, and I assume you guys will do things together?
Yeah, how is that interaction going to go down?
I don't know. I've been worrying about the press tour, too. I almost just don't even want to go.
No,
I feel like just kind of going back to London.
No. Yeah. Because you need to do all this for you. And there is a chance as you get stronger that you could heal and the relationship could heal in some ways, even if you just, I do believe there is a way to sort of have like a Teflon shield where you're able to have a relationship to a certain extent, maybe not
I
what it was.
If Heidi just was cool
But maybe she will be.
Yeah, but also, like, not go, and not this is a battle, but if you don't go to these press tours or go to the rap party or whatever, then that just shows that you've lost.
Right, right.
You can't let them, you can't give them that, you know?
But how, but I feel like it'd be winning, like, I am free from it, like.
But what if you just know you are?
Yeah.
It's all in your own mind to know, I am a good person, I'm doing the best I can, I'm okay. No matter what happens around you, just know that you are.
No, I feel so much stronger and independent and lighter, but...
No, it's going to take time.
Yeah, 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 it'll take time.
What did... Is it Evolution? Is that the production company? What did, what did they say to you... After all of this broke, were they upset? Were they sorry? What was their thought?
Didn't really get any texts.
Because I assume that they would be like, dang it, I wish we had that on camera.
Well, they have some of it on camera, and that was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
It's going to be quite a season of the Hills.
It's coming out
June 24th.
Do you think your parents will watch it?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I think they will. At least my mom will.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll change their perception of things.
No, there's a now there's a grandson involved.
Well,
Nothing's going to change. They want to see that grandson.
Listen, I get it. I just feel terrible. I feel like we need to, like, next episode, work on things to strengthen you. Work on things to kind of, like, quell your anxiety about all this. And I also think that true closure doesn't come until you present yourself as the bigger woman. And figuring out the next step. Listen, they can cut you out of their lives or whatever, but at some point, I think that someone is going to need to extend an olive branch. And I think it would be really great if that was you. It's going to take time, but I think that would be a really cool way. Even no matter what happens,
I agree. I think eventually,
you guys, I can't like
right now,
say any more of what. Led to me having not being able to go back to Paris and not almost not going back to like I can't say those things.
We get but, like, there is a lot of damage in there.
There's so like there's no way that I'm gonna have an olive branch. Like I don't want to see those people ever again. Like this has gone on for so long. Fight, make up. Truth is they hate me because I became friends with Lauren, and that is will always be the reason that
that's how you we'll never... you feel that. And it might be something to address. Your speculation.
No, they've told me that. They have told me that.
This is,
and I feel in my experience that's completely legit.
Because
they saw it as unloyal. But again, it's just like I'm going to be friends with who I think are good people.
Well, this does bring up what they addressed on their show, which when we will have Wells read it. But they acknowledge Whitney for some reason.
It seems like they're mad at Whitney as
they
well.
They do appear to be mad at Whitney.
I called Whitney the next day after that party and I was just like, are you okay? And she was like, I was just like really shaken up. I can't say more, but Whitney didn't do anything.
So
I don't, that's crazy that they're talking about her.
Okay. So I guess I'm starting to kind of understand this and paint the picture in my head. There's a lot that you can't say because you guys filmed it. And what really, really went down that has the straw that broke the camel's back is going to be on the show. Is that what you're saying?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So
and I think there's also some damage that's so far in the past that is bubbling up for Steph. I believe that.
Like,
yeah.
I can't believe I didn't, if I hadn't moved to London, I would have exploded a long time ago.
She's bottled up stuff, whether it's her perspective. Now, I can't say if it's 100% accurate because there's always eight sides to every story.
Yeah.
But for my her, what I'm interpreting is that there is so much history and pain bubbling up that it's all coming out now.
Yeah. All right. Well, next episode, I want to go through the transcript, whether you're on the call or not. I want to go through the transcript of Make Spidey Famous Again, because I want to, there's, you know, we started the show off with there are three truths to every story, and we've got one truth. I want to hear what their perception of this whole thing is, just if nothing else, just to be fair, but I just want to try to understand where they're coming from.
You do feel that Heidi's hurting. I definitely feel that Heidi is hurting as well.
Everyone in this family is broken.
Yeah.
And I,
thanks, Wells.
You guys are. I'm sorry. Like,
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy very birthday. But you guys are, and it's like, I'm sorry. Like, this is a really, you're crying on this show, and doing this podcast is heartbreaking to me, and for everyone in this room too. And I wish there was something we could do to fix it. I don't know if there is, but
There has to be.
I got out of it. I walked out of it. I fixed it.
And that may be the answer. We just don't know yet.
Yeah.
And time will tell as we go through this journey together. You're just beginning the healing process.
Yeah. The wound is just like super open right now.
Yeah.
And it's just, you haven't even had time to let it start to heal. And I think this show is going to be cathartic for you. I hope it's cathartic for your fam, like your parents too. I hope they listen to it and at least hear you, what you're saying. Regardless of, I know that me saying that it kind of pissing you off because you're like, I don't even care. But I come from a big family, and family is important to me. So I would at least hope that they are hearing some of this.
They hate me.
No, they don't.
And I understand.
They don't.
And I understand it. I've exposed everything. This is going to cause fights between my parents. It's going to cause fights with my brother, with my parents. I mean, I've literally dropped a bomb and flew to Hawaii. But it was either going to Hawaii, like, to chill out by myself, or I was, like, going to go to a treatment center for, like, trauma, even though I went to one last year.
Well, let's try Hawaii and some therapy first. Let's try Hawaii and some therapy.
That's what I'm doing right now. I have calls with my therapist from here. I'm just doing it once a week.
And some meditation and all those things.
But I just had to get out of LA. Like, it's just so toxic for me.
Well, keep us on speed dial. And we're going to text you after this. And then we're going to talk again next episode.
Also, please remember that no matter how you're feeling with your family life, that we love you so much.
Yes. Aww. And everyone's here for you. And just pay attention to all that support you're getting, you know, from everyone, including your friends and everybody.
Thanks, you guys.
Well, Hills,
Yeah.
Show's over.
Next week, can we have like a comedian on or someone?
I can't wait to have Whitney on. She's coming on, by the way. Yes, Whitney will be on with us.
Perfect.
Which I'm not till the show starts in June.
All right.
But I adore her. So that's the thing.
Me too.
Yeah, she's amazing. So.
All right, go to a luau or something. I don't know.
Yeah, eat some, what are those nuts they eat over there?
Macadamia nuts,
yeah.
Oh, they're talking about coconuts.
Some poi poi, what's that stuff called?
Poo-poo? I don't know. Go find a pig that's been buried in the sand that has been roasting for like 14 hours.
Aloha, Stephanie.
I think I'm going to jump in the pool.
That sounds good.
All right, Steph, we love you so much.
We love you. We'll text you later.
Aww, I love you guys. Thank you.
All right, Hills,
Show's over.
There it is.
Follow PrattCast on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.